this is a family day. And what I mean by that is we're going to do a couple of things that have to do with being a family. And in the book of Acts, you see, as God began to put the church together, there were moments in that early family that he would call some to stay and some to go. And in that going, by the way, it's never comfortable. It's not comfortable for those that are staying, and it's not comfortable for those that are going. But nonetheless, there's a response that needs to be had. And that response is one of faith. Because whether it's the road is clear or not, it still takes faith to leave or to stay. Because where God has you doesn't always mean that everything is perfect, but it still takes faith to stay. And then where you're going, it's not always easy, and it takes faith to go. But what I love about God is in the stories in the book of Acts, as you see how every chance God used people wherever he sent them for his glory. And it didn't mean it was always easy, but it meant that he was the one that was initiating the experience. Well, there's a couple in our church that have been apart since the very beginning. They started when we were having our meetings in our house in Steiner Ranch, in our little rental, little flat house, one story, and we had 75 people in our living room and children in our garage. And as the neighborhood started wondering, why are you doing this on a Tuesday night? And quickly we began to have to make some adjustments. But I remember when this couple first showed up, and I was like, Lord, you really love us. And what's been amazing to watch their journey is how they have at every step of the way said yes to Jesus, even when it was difficult, when it made no sense, when they were living in an apartment and that apartment fell through or things got strange and weird. They continued to say, we're here. Even when I had no promise of a position or a job, they knew that God had called them here to serve the house. And then eventually I was able to hire Ryan Cross. We hired them as our youth pastors and watched them begin to cast vision and see our young people grabbing a hold of the experience of who Jesus is. And he began to do our social media and all sorts, and to watch them lead worship when my sister was out of town, or be a part of creating and the videos that they've been able to produce. And it's been an absolute honor and a journey to be a part of what God has birthed here and what he's going to continue to do in their life. And so today is their last Sunday. But when I say it's their last Sunday, it's just their last Sunday sitting right there and right there. But investment is forever. If relationship is the foundation for everything, then just because I don't see you eye to eye doesn't mean that we don't value and invest continuing moving forward. And so what I'm so excited is that we get to be a part of the journey. And I just want to let you know, I'm so proud of them. And I'm so proud of the way they have gone about in honoring what God has been speaking to them for their next season. And so I've asked Ryan to come up. He's going to preach and kind of share a little bit about what God has been doing. And then we're going to pray for them. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to invest in what God is doing next for them. Yes. Expression Church. Would you please welcome Ryan Cross to the platform today?
Oh, Keen, you better start playing right now. Right now. Because there's going to be so many awkward pauses where just tears. Cassie leaned over and she was like, you're going to do great. I'm like, Cassie, don't talk to me. I'm on the verge of tears. Don't even look at me, Cassie. Someone told me that I look like a waiter at a Mexican restaurant this morning. First of all, that's racist. Second of all, Don't think we all didn't notice John Carr playing the trumpet today. So maybe there can be a little mariachi band thing happening here. I wear the shirt, you bring the trumpet. We'll do it to the tune of the Beatles. Also, don't think that we didn't all catch that happening this morning. It was amazing. Hey, before I forget, because it's super important, I just want to invite and remind everyone to our EYC Summer Conference. It's happening in 2 weeks today. At the end of the service, there's going to be our amazing leaders at the back of the auditorium. They're going to be handing you one of these. Look, you just have to know that God is doing something new. He's doing something powerful. He's doing something big in and through the young people of our church. We're headed into a new season where God is doing a new thing that's going to equal new and fresh life. It's going to equal new healing. It's going to equal salvation, revelation, revival in our young people. So no young person is going to want to miss out on this year's summer conference. So everyone's going to get one because everyone knows someone that needs to be here. Okay? So at the end of the service, you're going to get one of those before you leave, and that's going to be awesome. I hope you'll forgive me this morning because I do feel like a little bit of a mess this morning. Like Pastor Ryan said, 9 months ago, God began to speak to Joy and I about moving to LA. And when he first started to speak, it was crazy. It was bizarre. We tried to fight it for a minute, but we knew it was real. And so we wanted to make it as hard as possible for God. That's kind of what we decided. We're going to make it as hard as possible. And because we know that God moves with honor and he moves within submission, we put the ball in God's court and we waited. And in his timing, through him speaking, he's brought this thing about. So this is not a transition about opportunity. This transition is not a reaction to an offense. This transition is Joy and I and the leadership of this church endeavoring to be as faith-filled and as obedient as possible. And as Pastor Chad has told me, when it comes to God, there's only one response, and that's yes. So this is us saying yes to what God is doing. This is the leadership of this house saying yes to what God is doing, because we know that God moves in goodness towards goodness. And so we're excited for all of the goodness that we are about to see together as a family, because family we will forever be. So yeah, I'm a bit of a mess this morning for a couple reasons. The first reason is that this transition was not born out of looking for greener grass, because I'm 100% convinced that greener grass does not exist outside of Ryan and Dana Maloof. 5.5-ish years ago, we showed up, and services weren't really even happening yet. We showed up to an interest meeting at River Place Country Club, and I remember walking in, and Jack Maloof, who I don't know how old he was then, but he was the same size. I don't know. He was like 6 years old, but he was literally the same size. And I remember we walked in, and Jack was standing at the door, and everyone that was walking in, he was handing them dollar bills. And I remember as he was handing out those dollar bills, I remember taking it, and I remember thinking, I should hold on to it. I remember thinking that this was going to be a place what I was going to be invested in. And I know it's just a buck, so that's not representative of the last 5 years, but it is representative of Ryan and Dana Maloof. It's representative of their willingness and their zeal to invest in people. To invest in people that they just met. To invest in people that look a little messy, that don't have it all together, because they love. I mean, they love deeply. They love without reservation. And so I've said it once before in a birthday card, but I'm going to say it again today, that anything that God allows me to do in terms of leadership, in terms of ministry, will be a direct reflection of this couple. So I love my parents, my mom and dad, they're amazing. But God knew that I needed a spiritual mom and dad. He knew. And one of the greatest gifts that I will ever receive is God giving me Ryan and Dana as spiritual mom and dad. Yeah, I told you had to play. I said it. Didn't I say it? I said, you better start playing. The second reason that I'm a mess this morning is because I love this community. I love our young people. I love what God is building in this community, that he is truly building a shelter for the broken,
that you see it every week, that he is building a refuge for the hurt, a hospital for the sick, a buffet for the hungry. God, I love a buffet. He's building in this place a spring of life for the thirsty. That this is a place where people in this city and beyond are going to come and they're going to receive love and unconditional acceptance. That's what God is doing in this place. That is who you are. And this transition that me and my family are endeavoring upon is not a reflection of the faith of me. It's the reflection of the faith that God has built in this community. It's a reflection of you, because you are a people of great faith. The thing that I've noticed about faith in just the short time that I've been around is that faith is contagious. And great faith is contagious. I think about our executive pastors, Pastor Chad and Marna Patterson and his whole family. I think about the audacious faith that it took 2 years ago to say yes to what God was doing and bringing Church of the Hills and Expression Church together to lay something like that down. Who does that? That's audacious, jumping off of a cliff kind of faith. I think about our lead pastors who 6 years ago left familiarity, left family, left being known, knowing others, left a legacy and a heritage because they had faith for you. I think about my best friends are now generations pastors, Lauren and Faustin, who never even wanted to do children's ministry, but are now about to step into leading an entire generation from birth to high school into revival, places that we've never been before, doing things that we've never seen before. And I think about my friend and our worship pastor, Melissa, who married someone she met online. If there has ever been great faith, hopefully he doesn't murder you. He's not going to. We all know Brad. He wouldn't do something like that. But I love our community. And this is a place where great faith is born. It's a place where great faith is taught. It's a place where great faith is caught and will be sent to the ends of the earth. And you may be new here this morning. You may not know what faith is. You may feel like you have the smallest, minute amount of faith. But I just got to tell you, you got to stick around. Because there is mountain-moving kind of faith at Expression Church. There is generation-changing kind of faith at Expression Church. There is sickness-healing kind of faith at Expression Church. And you may not feel like you have it. You may not feel like you even know how to get it. But let me just tell you, stick around, because the atmosphere is contagious, because I am a byproduct not of just one man and one woman's faith, but of a community of faith. You have given me great faith. When we leave this place, when we head out, we know we don't go alone. We know, and these stories will stay in our minds of how God came through, of how he healed, of how he brought the job, of how he brought the provision. You are a community of great faith. God, through Jesus, has grafted us in to a legacy, to a heritage of great faith. It is who Expression Church is. So yeah, this whole transitioning to LA thing, this whole not even knowing where I'm going to work when I get there thing, this whole, well, God, we think we heard your voice, so hopefully we don't screw it up kind of a thing, is not a byproduct of my faith, but of the faith that God is building in this community. It is who we are. So don't be surprised if God leads you to the edge of a cliff and asks you to jump. Don't be surprised if God is asking you to do something that seems impossible, uncomfortable, out of this world, insane. Don't be surprised, because it's not just who you are, it's what God is building in this place. And why is he building it in this place? Because he knows what it takes to do what he's asked us to do, and that is great faith. Great faith. And finally, the last reason I'm a mess this morning is because I am absolutely, completely, insanely obsessed with God, in love with Jesus, and addicted to his presence. Some of you may know my story. I grew up in church. I was sexually molested as a kid. My parents were pastors. Ended up getting a divorce. Things got ugly, gross. I got hurt, and I love my parents, and I would never speak ill of them, but my road was not without its potholes. And life did not make it easy for me to be where I am and who I am. And I wasn't perfect along the way, but I did make some good choices. I didn't have all the right situations and environments, but God did give me the best guides. But I am here this morning because of one person and one person alone, Jesus Christ, who when I felt unlovable, loved me. When the guilt and shame of my own mistakes were screaming in my ears, he whispered to my heart. I know that the best thing, the only thing that I would ever be proud enough to say that I've done in my life is I was able to be his. I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be, but I love that that's not who our God is, and that's not what he asks of us. He doesn't want our perfection. He wants us. You are the only thing that he can't give himself. I love that about God. I love that about who he is. So you may not know him, but at the end of the service, at the end of this, I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet him, and it's going to be the best decision you've ever made. But this morning, I really sense God's heart for you and for what he wants to do. And I believe what he wants to do this morning is increase your faith. I believe that what God wants to do this morning, and all of the songs and all of the transitions and all what Heather has already spoke, all of it's kind of, I see what God is doing. He's leading us to this moment where he wants to increase your faith. He wants to double your faith. He wants to multiply your faith. Why? Because what he's asked us to do is impossible without faith. The faith is the currency of heaven. It's how we obtain the things that God has promised us. And it doesn't mean that if maybe something didn't happen the right way or you prayed for something and it didn't work out, that doesn't mean that you messed up and you didn't have enough faith. That's dumb. That's not what we believe. We know that even the disciples said that they asked Jesus for an increase of faith. They asked Jesus for an increase of faith because doing what God has asked us to do is impossible without it. Because there are mountains that need to be cast into the sea. There are schools that need to be transformed by the love of Jesus. There are entire neighborhoods that God is calling you to bring life and light to. But he knows, we know that none of this is possible without faith. As I was preparing for this message, God just was speaking to me just of some people that he wanted to encourage in the room this morning and build great faith in. He brought Annika to mind and was just speaking to me just of the calling that he's given you, a calling to speak to hopelessness and call those that are not in relationship into relationship, that you have a mandate to speak to loneliness in women and to bring light and to bring life and relationship to where they are. But that takes great faith, and she knows that. Nathan, God was speaking to me about when you go to college here in a few months, that when you walk onto the campus, there is a revelation of his love and his acceptance that those young people have never experienced. But when you walk into that building, when you walk onto that campus, there's something that you're bringing with you, and you didn't work for it, you didn't earn it, you didn't even think of it, but that God has placed it inside of you like a seed that he is about to grow, that it's been put into good soil, it's been watered, you've made the choice is to do all of those things, and now when you walk onto that campus, there's revival that's about to hit that college. But it's going to take great faith. I think about Cassie. God just showed me this picture of what you are going to help lead in the next coming years. Has not only been seen by us, but has not been seen anywhere. Because you are only here. And what God wants to do, he's started a long time ago. It's so connected to your identity and how you see him, how you know that he sees you. It's going to be different, but that is the right. It's right that it's different because it's him. But it's going to take great faith. There's a calling that all of us have. But that calling cannot be obtained without great faith. And so that's what I believe that God wants to do this morning, is he wants to lead us into an opportunity, into a moment of receiving some great faith. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about influence. And I hope you realize that this series on influence is not about leadership skills. It's not about how to build your brand. It's not how to grow your company. But influence actually looks a little bit differently. That influence actually looks like wherever you are, you bring the heart of God. That wherever you are, you bring the kingdom of heaven. That there are realities in heavenly places that begin to shift atmospheres, that shift culture, that shift sickness, that shift disease, that shift brokenness. brokenness in people's life. And that is the influence that you and I are meant to carry. That is the influence that you and I were created to have. The kind of influence that doesn't just affect earth, but that affects eternity. It's a kind of influence that brings heaven to earth so that when Jesus returns, as his word promises that he will, that to him it will be as if he never left heaven. That is the influence that you and I were meant to carry. Not the influence that gets us more money, but puts more faith currency in our pocket. Not the influence that makes our name famous, but makes the name of Jesus famous. That is the kind of influence that you and I were meant to carry. It doesn't point to us. It's not about us. It's kingdom influence. That's what I want to talk about just for the next couple minutes. The next 11 minutes is kingdom influence. Let me pray real quick. Keen, don't go anywhere though. Jesus, we love you. Would you help us? God, we want more faith. We want an increase of the measure of faith that you've given us. Because we want to see the impossible. We want to experience heaven on earth. God, we believe it's your promise to us. We believe it's the heritage that we've been grafted into. And so we ask for more of it, God. Would you help us in these next few moments to hear what you want us to hear, see what you want us to see, and leave here differently than when we walked in. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So today, in the next few minutes, we're gonna talk about kingdom influence. And I want to talk to us about a man named Abraham. Abraham was a man in the Bible that many refer to him now as the father of the faith. He was called by God to pretty much essentially begin God's chosen people, the Israelite people. Jesus himself would come from the line of Abraham, and he was a pretty mean dude. He mean in the cool way, not like the bad way. He was a pretty cool dude, and to me, he was a kingdom influencer. And in Hebrews, the passage of scripture that we've been looking at about influence over the past couple of weeks, the writer of Hebrews gives us a couple verses on Abraham. And I want to pull out 3 points from 3 different verses that are going to help us understand what kingdom influence is and how we can walk in it today. Does that sound good? Yes. Is that going to work? Okay. So can we put up Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That verse has never felt more real to me than right now. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 8. Point number one, kingdom influencers know obedience is the goal. Kingdom influencers know obedience is the goal. I'm going to read verse 8 to us one more time. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I think we have to understand, just like Abraham, that there are moments in our life and moments in our journey of faith when God is going to call us to radical obedience. And to have the mindset of a kingdom influencer means that we know that obedience itself is the goal. We have to understand, I have to understand, walking into this next season of my life, that obedience is the goal. That the goal isn't the goal. That to God, to a kingdom influencer, I know that obedience is the goal. Genesis 12:1, when God calls Abraham for one of the first times, he says to him, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. Think about the things that God called him out of. He said, go from your country, from your people, and from your father's house. Basically saying, go from everything that you know. Everything that seems comfortable to you right now in your life. Everything that's familiar. Everything that's known by you, known to you. Everything that feels nice and safe. I want you to leave it behind. And where are you going to go? I'll show you. There are moments in our life when God calls us all to similar types of obedience, where whether it's starting an e-group, whether it's stepping out and starting a Bible study at your school or joining a team or whatever it may be, that there are moments when God calls us to obedience, but the mindset that we have to take into that moment is that obedience is the goal. You know, unfortunately, frustratingly enough, the thing that we don't get to do is determine what our obedience is going to produce. Abraham didn't get to decide what his obedience was going to produce. Because obedience is the goal to a kingdom influencer. Our obedience cannot be based on what we perceive the outcome to be. Our obedience is based in the fact that God is the one that's asking us to obey. There is a real hope that can be found in obedience. There is a real life that can be found in obedience. I dare to say there's even joy that can be found in obedience. The confidence that we take into our obedience does not come from what we think the outcome of our obedience is going to be. It comes from the fact that God is the one that's asking us to obey. Hebrews 11, 17, later on it says, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." Abraham knew the character of his God, understood the identity of his creator, and so left what his obedience would look like at the door. He didn't come with, "It has to look like this. It has to work in this amount of time. It's got to make me this amount of money. It has to get me to this opportunity or this platform." Abraham reasoned that God's character was true enough that it could allow me just to simply obey. God is faithful enough. He's just good enough. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So I can trust not in what I think my obedience is about to produce. I can trust in the fact that God is the one that's asking me to obey, and he doesn't change. He always has my back. He goes before me. He's behind me. He's on either side of me. So the confidence we take into our obedience, and there's an area of our life that God is calling us all to obey even this morning. Be obedient with your tithe. Be obedient in faithfulness to your marriage. Be obedient at work and doing your best, the best work that you can do. The confidence that we take in is the fact that God is asking us to do it. I love how there's a commentator on this passage. He says it like this, as just commenting on this Hebrews verse. It says, "God did not immediately make known the land unto Abraham so that it might be lovely in his eyes. God sometimes leads his people in ways they have not known, though they are known to him and are always right. It is the property of faith to follow God when it cannot see its way. What a great mercy it is to have God for a guide." What a great mercy it is to have God for a guide. Kingdom influencers know that obedience is the goal because they know that God himself is the prize. Me and a friend were talking the other day about there's a story in the Bible where there's a king, and the king says to this girl, "Hey, I'm going to give you whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom." And the girl does something bizarre. She asks for the head of one of her mom's enemies. It's real weird. But me and this friend were talking, we're like, man, that's the reality of our God, that he is the King of Kings, and that he's asking us, "Hey, ask for whatever you want, up to half my kingdom." And my friend was just jokingly saying, "Well, I'd ask for half the kingdom. Why ask for someone's head? Like, just ask for half the kingdom." And I understand the sentiment, and I agree with it, but I think there's something to be said with, I'm satisfied with the king. I think there's something to be said with, you know what? Obedience can be the goal because God himself is the prize. You can, I get it. I love the provision. I need the provision. I love the blessings and the opportunity. I get all those things, but none of those things satisfy my soul. Not for 1 minute, not for 1 second is my soul satisfied by anything that this world can give me. My soul is not satisfied with the outcome of a job deal or of an interview or of an application or of a relationship. My soul is only satisfied by my God. Kingdom influencers know that obedience is the goal because God himself is the prize. Number two, kingdom influencers know where home is. Kingdom influencers know where home is. Verse 9 says, "By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise." I was reading this verse this week, and it just stuck out to me. It was something about it was so intriguing that Abraham, that the writer would say of Abraham that he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Like a stranger in a foreign country. The place where God had promised him. The place where God said, "Hey, look around. This is all yours." And yet he lived in it like a stranger. Like a sojourner. Like a pilgrim. think there's something to be said of kingdom influence and kingdom influencers knowing where their home is. Later on in Hebrews 11:13, it says all of these people, referring to everyone in that chapter, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Kingdom influencers know where their home is. They understand the reality of the situation, that this is where I'm at, but this is not my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. I came from God, and I'm going back to God. That what man can do to me cannot touch my eternal destiny. That I know where my home is. I know the reality of my home. I know that I am going to heaven, that is my home, that the kingdom of heaven is where I belong. But kingdom influencers also know where they've been called. Kingdom influencers know where their home is, but they know where they've been called. There's a part of Abraham's story where God, he was with Lot, and they separated, and Abraham was kind of by himself for the first time, and God spoke to him and said, hey, look around. Look north, look south, look east, look west, all of it. It's yours. Your inheritance, your descendants, I'm going to give it to them. The land of Canaan, it's your promise. And then he told him to do something interesting. He said, I want you to walk the length and the breadth of it. I want you to get to know it. I want you to walk up and down. I want you to familiarize yourself with it. So I was thinking, kingdom influencers know where their home is, but they also know where they've been called. The reality is that if you and I did not have a calling to this earth, on this earth, we would have gone to heaven when we got saved. Kingdom influencers know where they're headed, but they know where they're called. Where you're working is where you're called. Where you're going to school is where you're called. Your family, your husband, your wife, your children, they are your calling. That is where you have been called. Look, I know where my home is, but I also know that where I've been called. And so I know that this is the lowercase p promised land, and I'm headed to the uppercase p promised land. But while I'm here, I'm going to get to know it. While I'm here, I may be living in a tent, but I'm going to get amongst it. I'm going to inhabit my calling. I'm going to live every day like God has called me to be where I am, do what I'm doing in relationship with who I'm in relationship with. I know that that's home, but this is calling, and I'm going to live out my calling while I'm here. Kingdom influencers know where their home is, but they inhabit where they're called. Last point. Kingdom influencers see it differently. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Kingdom influencers see it differently. It was a part of Abraham's journey where him and his crew had to fight these people. And then after they fought these people, they won. But I can imagine Abraham being kind of tired, being kind of just feeling, hey, we won, but man, like that was hard. And God came to Abraham. Abraham was in his tent, and God says that God came into his tent. God pulled him, God led him out of his tent. It was at night, and he told Abraham to look up at the stars and said, I want you to count them if you can. Classic God humor, asking you to do something he knows you can't do. I want you to count them if you can. So shall your descendants be. So indicative to how God treats us, that he enters into the place where we're at. He's not afraid of the mess. He's not slowed down or deterred by what's happening in your tent right now. But he comes in, he guides you, leads you out, and he reminds you of the promise. The starry night moment, I believe, that God wants to give you this morning. And I love what Abraham's response. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Abraham's response after God did this for him. It's in Genesis 15:6. It says, Abraham believed the Lord and credited it to himself as righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Not his actions, not his behaviors, not in how hard he tried. His belief in God was credited to him as righteousness. Kingdom influencers see it differently. because they see that anything is possible with God. What you have to know, and you probably do, is that Abraham at this point had no kids. He was hecka old. His wife was even hecka older. This was not like everything seemed perfect for the promise. How things look in your tent right now, it may not look like it's headed towards the promised land. It may not look or feel like it's the makings of a promised land. But kingdom influencers see it differently because they see that anything is possible with God. I believe that there is a starry night moment that God has for you this morning. He wants to draw you out, invite you out of the place where you are. He wants you to look up at the promise, at the calling, at the thing that he's asking you to be obedient in. And the righteousness that he asks is not that you would do it perfectly, not that you would have it all together, but that you would believe him and it would be credited to you as righteousness. There's a starry night moment for all of us because God wants to build our faith. Because what he's asked us to do is impossible without it. So I believe in this next moment that God just wants to do that very thing. He wants to impart some faith. He wants to impart some faith to you. It's a gift from him, a free gift, but we have every right to ask for it. So I'm going to ask for it for myself because I know the reality of my next season. I need some faith. I would encourage you to ask for it for yourself. You may not even feel like you need it, but how about we press in this morning? How about we dare to believe that our next season is going to be our best season? How about we gather and recognize that God wants to take us into places we've never been, to do things we've never done, and so in order to do that, we're going to need some great faith. So would you stand with me this morning?